When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Maury Rowe, the two-time winner, takes the lead from Faulkner. That's the way they finish the first lap.
It's Schumacher!
The Brazilian and the Colombian driver, I couldn't help it, but Ed, take back, oh my goodness. Well, Nelson Piquet, understandably, livid with rage.
Committee meeting about it. Stick it on and send him out.
Well, this has blown it for Irvine, blown it for Ferrari. I don't know what's happened.
Welcome to another episode of Pit Lane Parlay. I am your host, Mike Chocum. Matt is here. It is Baku week, and we have some previewing to do and some probably terrible predictions to make. But before we get there, a little bit of news, and I'm actually going to start the show with a super duper secret host question. And this one's not for Matt. This one is for everybody listening. I have one later for Matt. But there are a lot of F1 historical things we could do in off weeks or book reviews. There's a lot of good F1 books out there. So I want to turn it over to everybody listening to get an idea for what would you like to hear on off weeks? What type of historical stuff could we do that maybe switches it up a little bit? Because I found a lot, and our pal Frenchie was reading the Damon Hill biography and shared some of it with me over the weekend. It looked pretty cool, so I think that's something I'm going to have to check out in my spare time. But Matt, we have to start off with probably the strangest Valtteri Bottas headline. I don't know if it's like the strangest I've ever seen, but one of the stranger motorsports articles I've ever seen. Valtteri Bottas has a quote unquote negative photo on his desktop computer to show them what I can do, aka haha, F you doubters. So I'm just going to leave it at that and see what you think. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, what is the opposite of a mentality monster? Because it's just every time he does something that just makes me shake my head a little bit. And this is one of those. And I think it was mentioned that it wasn't related to Hamilton or Verstappen or anything like that. And it kind of makes me wonder what it would be. And it could just be a meme. I mean, I don't know. It could be his tire deflating at Baku, which, you know, that did, I think, robbed him of a second or a first that one. That was pretty unfortunate. But
yeah,
it's just a head scratcher. I mean, you know, if it worked for him, I guess, who am I to judge? But I don't know if it necessarily needed to be broadcasted per se, or I don't know if someone asked or how that works, but it's just kind of a weird one.
Yeah, I would love to know how this became part of the conversation. He says he was inspired by chats with Toto Wolff last year, and I get it. Okay, you're trying to motivate yourself. Like, if he just left that at that, I would be like, okay, you know what? I respect, you know, everybody's got to motivate themselves. And then, you know, I don't carry a picture of Lewis or Max in my pocket, which would be weird anyway. It's not really a positive thing. It's a negative thing, so that always reminds me to show them what I can do. Every time he says something like this, he has a bad weekend after. Every time. He's some sort of mental case. And I was trying to explain it to my dad this weekend, who doesn't really follow along with the kind of off-track stuff in F1. And I really struggled to come up with classification for Bottas, but he's in his head way too much. If he's talking about it in this great detail, And I don't know if it's like a picture of like him crashing, like what, if it's not about Lewis or Max, like those are your two, I don't know if biggest rivals is the word, but they are the ones that are probably going to challenge you on track the most on a consistent basis this year.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, hey, if he wins a championship because of it, then I guess it'll all have been worth it. Am I right? Speaking of another driver who's had a couple of rough races in a row and they're, is some growing concern about confidence and performance and whatnot. AlphaTauri announced today that Yuki Tsunoda is actually going to be relocated to Italy as far as his living situation. So Tsunoda is going to be moving closer to the team factory, which will be good in a lot of ways for him. Obviously, I don't know where, if he, where he's living now, if he's living in Japan or if he's living England or wherever, but Italy has its own culture, which may be different than what Tsunoda was used to growing up to or where he's been living for the last couple of years. So that might be one shift. And obviously nobody likes moving. Moving can often be a pain. But if you're closer to the team and you get to connect with your guys more and maybe, you know, get to the factory more to get on the same page with everybody and make sure we have strategies nailed before we get to the race, that might be a good thing. So what are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, it's interesting. I kind of get it because, you know, he's, how old is he? Is he 19 or 20? I probably could just look at that if I opened up the news article here. But either way, he's super young. Moving him, you know, closer to the team and kind of closer to more Formula One people, I guess it makes sense. I mean, I guess, you know, being, he was in the UK before, I think, so it's not like he was far from Formula One people, but I guess being closer to the team and the team can kind of monitor him and maybe he's in the shop more. Maybe that does help him grow because after a first good weekend, he's really been all over the place. I know he also said at some point in the last week, I need to clean up my chatter on the radio. So he's definitely kind of, you know, I don't want to say like Bottas, but I think he's also a little bit in his own head right now. And maybe this gives him the reset to, you know, refocus heading into the summer months before the summer break.
Yeah, could do. Your boy Esteban Ocon's got some positive momentum for the first time in a long time. He's actually had a couple good races in a row. And now he's suckering the people at Alpine into giving him a new deal. Ocon came out and said that he's going to let his management team just work with Alpine, or I'm saying Alpine. What have I been doing that? Alpine, and
I didn't
they're
even
going
catch
to
it.
Work out. They're going to work out some sort of new deal, apparently. What do you think of? What do you think of that? I feel like I already know the answer, but what do you think of that?
Well, I'm not going to give you the answer you think, because I think right now he's doing what it takes to be an F1 driver. He's clearly the top car on that team this year. I don't even think it's close right now. Alonso said this week, I think after the French Grand Prix, I'll be able to really get a feel for the car. So I don't know. Yeah, I guess 2-year layoff can do that to you. But Ocon is the clear better driver on that team right now. And leaving it up to his management team and not involving himself kind of leads me to believe that he's not really worried about it. Like he just wants to focus on the track and leave everything else to his management team, which is, I think, the right attitude to have. So good for him. I have nothing bad to say in this. I know it's not like me with Ocon, but I got nothing bad.
It's weird. I'm uncomfortable. Yeah. Alonso came out today and said like basically that his season starts in France, which I don't know what that means for Baku. If we're
just mentally skipping
right off this next race or what, but I don't know. Maybe he'll be MIA this weekend. Maybe he just won't show up. Who knows? Probably got sad watching the Indy 500 and seeing what a good race looks like. And it was just like, oh crap. So yeah, I mean, curious to see if that is him signaling that they're going to be pretty bad at Baku or what, but, you're right. Ocon has outperformed him so far. I think Alonso's had a couple bad breaks, issues at Bahrain, and I believe Imola really hindered him. So, and then he had a really bad qualifying effort at Monaco, which was kind of on him. So The driver's battles there is not over quite yet, but definitely Ocon is making it worthwhile for Alpine to look into his contract for next year for sure.
Yeah. And before we get to the Baku preview, one article that I found pretty interesting was about Alfa Romeo drivers Antonio Giovinazzi. According to team boss Frederick Vasseur, believes that Giovinazzi no longer needs his experienced teammate Kimi Raikkonen as a reference after changing his approach to Formula One. This is Giovinazzi's third season in F1, scored his first points of the year last week in Monaco, so off to a good start. And he seemed like the better Alfa Romeo driver this year. And my one question to you before I get your take on all of this is, I mean, I get it. Like, I think you're in your third year now. You have to stop relying on older teammates to find your way to a degree. But has Kimi Raikkonen ever been one to be a welcome and warm teammate? Like, I feel like he's not a guy that's spending hours in the team truck afterwards sharing setup advice. Like, he might give a pointer or two, but how much has Giovinazzi really been leaning on Raikkonen anyway?
Probably none. It's tough to tell. We just don't know what their dynamic is. I mean, obviously they do some media stuff and this and that, but I think out of every pairing on the grid, I think other than maybe Russell and Latifi, there's no combination that's talked about less than these two. So I don't disagree with what he's saying. I think Gio is doing well on his own. I think he honestly is leading the team right now as far as performance and pace. So Raikkonen is good for the brand. He's got a lot of followers and he's a legend of the sport, but I don't know if he's adding as much to the team anymore as he once could have. So I think honestly, and I don't know how much they're paying him, but I'm assuming it's a lot just because he's a champion veteran. Yep. But I would definitely love to see Callum Ilott or maybe one of the F2 drivers that's in the academy get a shot, because I just think at this point in time, the junior team with Raikkonen, it's kind of a head scratcher. So I don't know if that makes as much sense to keep him around anymore, but kind of pains me to see that because, you know, Frenchie shared with us today a cool montage of amazing car control skills by Raikkonen. And, you know, when he was in the McLaren car in the early 2000s, the mid 2000s, that was awesome. He was just an epic driver. 2005 was one of my favorite seasons ever just because he and Alonso were so much fun to watch. And that'll never be taken away from me, even though he's had some years between then and now that have not been as great. But no matter what happens, he's still going to be a legend of the sport. That's for sure.
Yeah. Always will go down as, you know, one of the greatest, and also one of the most entertaining listening to his radio. But at this point, I think Callum Ilott is a great fit. I think he's running some, I don't know if it's WC or some sort of, I think, European Le Mans. And I know he's running a Ferrari there. So, and he said he's going to wait for Formula One to open up for him. So he's not giving up that hope. So I think he'd be a good fit there. You know, next year, Gio will be in his fourth season. I think at that point in your Formula One career, you're experienced enough to have a young teammate and kind of teach him the ways. And I don't think Kimi Raikkonen is that guy anymore. I think he's just kind of riding it to collect a paycheck and do what he was asked to do. But I think he can retire now.
Yeah, and he can retire with his head held high because, you know, he's...
Yes, for sure.
He's accomplished so much, and, you know, he's probably the second best. I'd probably put him in front of KK Rosberg. So, yeah, I'd say he's probably the second best Finnish driver behind Hakkinen in Formula One. I don't think I missed anybody too major there. So, I'm sorry, I forgot Mika Salo. Just kidding. But, yeah, I think he's definitely going to solidify himself somewhere in a lot of people's, you know, maybe like top 20 drivers of all time. So that'll be good tributes to come out whenever he does decide to retire. And you know, he's always said this is a hobby for him, so we'll see what the future holds for him. But we'll focus on Baku now. Before I even get to the flexi wings that we talked about for the first time last week, and this is probably going to be a
weekly
bigger topic going forward, just want to get your overall thoughts on Baku. So, you know, we've had some rants before about Vietnam, about the new Saudi Arabian circuit, about Sochi. There's this kind of new era of street races that all kind of have the same feel to them. And then there's Baku. What do you think of Baku, and what do you think of the entertainment value we've seen so far in its four-year history?
I love Baku. I know it's people seem to either love it or hate it, but I love that track. I love it. It's highly entertaining. There's fast straights. There's the castle section where you have to be right on your game, right on the lane. You can't put a wheel wrong, otherwise your race is done. And the straights give plenty of room for overtaking, DRS or not, as we saw, I think, in 2018. Ricardo in his last year with Red Bull overtook somebody down the front stretch without DRS.
Coming up on 5 Minute News, I'm Anthony Davis. You might think it's partisan because maybe it's critical of one side or the other, but it's not. It's just the truth. And I think that's also something that's kind of unusual for Americans listening to the radio or to podcasts, because the news landscape in the States has been so partisan for so many decades. So 5 Minute News is verified, truthful, independent, unbiased, and essential world news daily.
Greetings from Evergreen Podcasts. We're rolling out a listener survey, and we want to hear from you. The information in the survey will help us gather statistics and in turn make our shows more appealing to advertisers. I know most people don't like ads, but this is one of the only ways our shows make money and help keep their lights on. We promise it will only take a few minutes, but the impact on our podcasts will be tremendous. As a token of our appreciation, we'll randomly select one lucky participant each month to win an exclusive merchandise package from Evergreen Podcasts. Head to evergreenpodcast.com/listener survey to help a show and possibly get some free stuff for doing so. We can't thank you enough for the support. Now back to the show.
So there's the possibility of unmanufactured passing happening. And I think it's just a really cool track. I like I think it's one of my, I don't know if it's like top five on my favorite tracks, but it really provides a lot of interesting entertainment sections. Fast and slow are all entertaining to me.
Yeah, it's just it works. You look at it on paper and you're like, I'm not sure about this, and then you look at the 3D rendering of the onboard as like a first display of what it's going to look like, and you're like, I don't know about that. Like, you're driving through a castle, like, what?
Yeah,
what's the point of that? And now you're like, you know, I think it was like the first race 2016, you're like, wow, like, this could work. Like, this could be fun. And then I'm not sure if it was the year 2017 or 2018 when Lewis and Vettel had their tizzy under the safety car. I'm like, all right, well, that's a moment that's going to be replayed for a long time. And then, you know, Stroll's podium getting pipped at the line by Bottas was super cool. You got Verstappen and Ricardo hitting each other and being forced to apologize to the entire factory because of it. You got Bottas' tire failure. You got Alonso coming back to the pit somehow on like one wheel. I think it was two wheels were flat at least, maybe three. What else we got? Who was it? Was it Ricardo who just kind of reversed into somebody 2 years ago? This track,
just there's always something.
4 years. Yeah, just in its 4 years of existence, something always happens, and it definitely has an IndyCar feel to it, which I love. Kind of like the best of both worlds. We're getting kind of this crazy race with unpredictability and passing that's not very difficult in the sport of Formula One, which is what IndyCar fans get pretty much every time they race. So I think it's super cool. I hope it stays on the schedule for a long time, just because it's just a fun race. It's one I definitely look forward to, and it's usually somewhere near the, I think the last couple have been on the same weekend as Road America, which means I've missed them. It's kind of a bummer, but it's definitely, I think this will be the first one in a while I've actually gotten to watch. I'm not even home this weekend. I guess I should change my sentence there, but I'll be able to watch it in some capacity indoors somewhere.
Good.
So the top five from 2019, which is the last time we ran, was Valtteri Bottas, Lewis Hamilton, Sebastian Vettel with Ferrari, Max Verstappen, and Charles Leclerc. So Flexi Wings obviously is still a big topic. At this point, Tuesday, when we are recording, we have not heard anything about any tests or anybody failing tests or who's paying for the tests or anything that we kind of talked about last week. So again, we'll keep our eyes on that and keep you all posted. But the thing that came out this week was kind of just a general consensus that the Flexi Wings may not make a huge difference for Baku. I think the primary reason there is because the turns at Baku aren't necessarily contingent on downforce. So it's kind of just a mechanical handling track, but the Flexi Wings that could help a team at like a Monaco aren't going to make that much of a difference at a place like Baku, just because drag is going to be, or cars are probably going to be trimmed out a lot anyways. So do you think that's going to hurt a team like Red Bull this weekend if their grandmaster plan of Flexi Wings isn't as beneficial for them?
Not necessarily. Red Bull's been strong from the start of the season, no matter where they've been. So I don't think it's necessarily going to hurt them very much, especially if Sergio Perez can have a good qualifying weekend and get right up there with Verstappen and be able to foil with Mercedes strategy a little bit more than they have in the first handful of races this year. So no, I don't think it's going to make a difference. It might make a difference for like a lower tiered team than a higher tiered team that relies on it. But I don't think it really would make a big difference to Red Bull and Max Verstappen.
Yeah. I still think they're going to be fast. And I think, wonder how much Honda is going to help them with the power, if that's going to maybe, again, keep them level with Mercedes like we've seen just about everywhere this year. But thinking back to a track with long straights we've already been to, like Bahrain. So we will see. We've had four different winners in four races, which is another cool fact of this track. So we've had Rosberg, Hamilton, Bottas, and Ricciardo win so far. The odds that we see a new winner, what do you think?
So that was Rosberg, Hamilton. Who are the other two?
Bottas and Ricciardo.
I am going to say we will see a fifth new winner at Baku this year.
Who's that going to be?
Oh, I don't want to predict the winner. I just want to leave this prediction at that.
All right. Well,
I don't want to put too much pressure on myself.
No, I'll go for it. I think Checo's going to win. There we go. Okay. You heard it here first. Right. All right, I guess with that being said, who's gonna do good?
So I know he has not had a good start to the year, but I think I've read a few interviews that sound like McLaren's gonna have a good weekend. So I'll take Danny Ric this weekend.
Yeah, see, every time I pick him, he ends up doing bad. So I'll say Checo, and again, I'm thinking he's gonna win. I'm getting the vibes. So, I mean, we do our Indy 500 episode next. My prediction for bad that week was Elio, which is fantastic. Absolutely love that.
Well, my predictions were awful.
Yeah, your predictions weren't great either, but at least you didn't have the winner as your bad pick. But hope if you guys listen to this, some of you maybe more Formula One focused fans got a chance to check out the Indy 500 this last weekend, because it was absolutely amazing. So hopefully you gave it a watch. Mike, who's going to do bad this week?
You know what? Since we talked about him earlier, I'm going to say Fernando Alonso.
Rude. Just a hater.
He's kind of like bordering on low hanging fruit, since he said he's pretty much not expecting to do much this weekend, but yeah.
Ass in some sort of capacity, whether it's just a piddly seventh or something, I don't think he's gonna have his best race. Who is your dark horse top 10?
I am going to take everybody's favorite meme and TV graphic in Lance Stroll.
Ugh.
I know.
Sad moment in
Formula He did have the last podium for a Williams racing car.
Wow.
At Baku in 2017. Don't quote me on the year. But that's like the nicest thing I've said about Williams in like forever. So
that's true. All right. I'm going to say Alonso just because you think he's going to do bad. Lastly, who's going to get eliminated in Q1?
Well, I really just want to pick Alonso here, but I want to differentiate my picks so I have a chance at having a good one. Let's see here. I am going to say, I'm sorry, Yuki Tsunoda, but I don't think this is quite your week.
And sticking with the common answer, I'm also going to say Alonso. I just think
very close.
I think he's just going to be able to rebound and get a top 10 out of it as well. So I got a lot of riding on Alonso. I need him to do bad for you, but also score a top 10 for me, which doesn't make sense. No. If he scores a top 10, that's going to be bad for you. So that's good. It's basically I need Alonso to qualify poorly and then race very well.
Yeah, so you want him to start 16th or worse, but then finish in the top 10. You're asking a lot of Fred in one weekend.
Well, you know, he's really good at what he does, or at least he was. Okay. Jury's still out on if he's still got it. So,
yeah, fair. Well, we'll wrap it up there. Not too much going on otherwise. Again, there will be some sort of live show this weekend, whether it be me or me and Matt or maybe our pal Frenchie will join me again if Matt is away wherever this weekend. And guys, have a lovely weekend of racing.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.